just want to pray for Rose now as she brings your word to us. And thank you for the time that she has spent with you this week, listening and praying over what she was going to say this morning. We just ask that you speak to us through her. And we ask that you give us listening hearts and listening ears to hear and respond to what you say. Amen.
Amen. I wonder if you can remember times when you've had some really good news and how you felt about it and what it meant to you. Perhaps you passed an exam, you got a new job, you had a marriage proposal, you had the birth of a child, your house sold, you had an amazing holiday. What news has brought the greatest joy in your life? This is the third in our series of sermons on our nine values. I don't know if any of you can remember all of them, but here they are. Worship, prayer, love, the Bible, the gospel, people, developing leaders and discipling, mission and the Holy Spirit. These came out of a period of time seeking God for the vision he'd like us, Pip and Jim's, to pursue. That's a vision not just for the leadership, not just for those who've been part of the church forever, not quite forever, and known Jesus for a long time, not just for the old, not just for the young, but for all of us here at Pip and Jim's. The whole church asked God for dreams and words, and then a group spent time looking at and praying over these to see what God was saying, until we reached the hopefully memorable vision of encounter, grow, and go. How many people can remember that? Encounter, grow, and go. It's nice and simple. So encounter God, grow in our faith, and go out and share that faith with others. And then we developed the nine values that we believed were important in helping us to do that. So far, we've looked in our sermons at two values, worship and love, and today we're looking at the gospel. The word gospel in English is an Anglo-Saxon word. It comes from two words, God, meaning good, and spell, meaning news. So, gospel, good news. That word appears around 100 times in the Bible, depending on your translation. And in the New Testament language, Greek, the language that the Bible's written in originally, the word is euangelion, and you might recognise the word eu in some of our English words, which means good. Euphoria, for example, well, good well-being. And angelos, which you might not recognise like that, but obviously it's angel. And an angel is basically a messenger. And you can think of angels like the angel Gabriel, who brought the message of Jesus' birth, the great tidings of great joy, as it were. And you might recognise also that word euangelion in our word evangelist, which literally means a teller of the good news. And so euangelion in classical Greek and the similar Old Testament word in Hebrew, which I won't try and say, meant a person who brought news of a great victory. It might have been a great victory in battle that meant the king was still reigning on the throne, or it might be other political or personal news of great joy. They also sometimes used the word to mean the reward for the good news, or the good news itself. So it was both the messenger, the good news itself, and the rewards that came from those good news. And I think all of that is wrapped up in the way we use good news in the Bible. And so we have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are actually accounts of the good news. And Mark introduces his Gospel in chapter 1, verse 1, with the words, "The beginning of the Gospel." The good news about Jesus Christ. So what is the good news about Jesus Christ? Well, we've heard a bit already in our songs and Val at the beginning. Very basically, Jesus came and lived on earth for us, died on the cross for us, was buried and rose again to new life for us, appearing to many people to prove this. And there's an early Christian confession in 1 Corinthians 15 that exactly says that. And we can share the rewards of that good news, everlasting life with him, all wrong forgiven through faith in Christ, and therefore perfect reconciliation with God, our Heavenly Father, perfect peace, the gift of the Holy Spirit living in us, God with us forever, blessing upon blessing, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And all this, not through anything we do, but by grace, God's gift to us. We've talked about learning memory verses as well as part of our strategy. And I'm sure many of you already know John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. There's also verses in Romans 5, verse 8 onwards, which say God demonstrates his own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us, and Val used that verse at the beginning, again, without any consulting. While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. That's before we'd acknowledged him or thought about him or turned to him or changed at all. He loved us and reached out to us. And that passage goes on to say, how much more then, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? This is the good news of grace, the grace of God. Nothing we need to do to put ourselves right with him. No works, no actions. We just need to receive what's been done for us and live in it. So often we feel we need to earn things. Our culture's very much one of merit. We do not have to earn God's grace. We just have to be humble enough to say, thank you, God. Trust and believe and receive, and not try and buy or work our way into the kingdom in any way. Thank God he doesn't rely on our perfection, because we have failed so many times. We are accepted unconditionally and then transformed by his Spirit living in us. That is good news. Yesterday, Jean and I were at the Lay Ministers Conference in Orpington, where Simon Burton Jones, Bishop Simon, was preaching on the hope we have. And he reminded us that Christians are not optimists, but realists. We're not blind to the awfulness that there is often in us and in the world around us. We're not blind to what we need saving from. Bishop Simon said, and I quote from my notes, since September the 11th, 2001, we've led wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. We've had a global financial crisis. We've had austerity. We've had the bitterness of Brexit. We've had populist politicians. We've had social media poison. We've had COVID. We've had a war in Europe. We've had climate change. We've had a cost of living crisis. We've had the death of the Queen. And all by 2022. We're not blind to what's in the world around us. A lot of bad news, and that's often experienced most strongly by the poor. And it shows up in things like the increased mental health problems amongst our young people who are in a time of uncertainty. But against that backdrop of bad news that we often see in our world, Jesus is permanent and unchanging good news for each and every one of us. Whatever our situation, in him we have an eternal hope. Jesus is coming, and his second coming is the greatest news in history. Through him, the kingdom of God is established on earth as in heaven, the kingdom where God rules and reigns forever through Christ's death and resurrection and lordship of our world. We can be saved from all the negatives the kingdoms of this world bring into the kingdom of God, his kingdom, a kingdom that's everlasting, not transitory. A kingdom that's so different to the kingdoms of the world. A kingdom of justice and truth, not of lies and deceit and injustice. Not a kingdom of grasping and greed and domination and selfishness, but a kingdom of giving and sacrifice and caring and sharing and peace and love and joy. What a kingdom. A kingdom of good news. And so we've talked a bit about what good news is. Andrew said, why didn't I just do this sermon off the top of my head? I said, well, maybe we'd be here all day. We've talked a bit about good news, and there's so much more we could say, so much more many of us have experienced. But let's come back to our values. We expanded the value of the gospel to say, the gospel, living, sharing, and proclaiming the good news of Jesus in word and in action. So how might we go about that? Live, share, and proclaim the good news. Firstly, it's hard to proclaim something you don't really know about. So if the good news is about Jesus Christ, we need to get to know Jesus Christ. Then we could live, share, and proclaim him. First of all, we have to encounter him. So we have to read the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, and the rest of the Bible, which all points to Jesus and God's salvation plan in him. It all encompasses the truths about Christ. We need to spend time with Jesus, talk to him, listen to him daily. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we're completely, totally, and utterly reconciled with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everything done, wiped away. So we can walk in uninterrupted fellowship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He lives in us. He's with us. He's part of all we do and all we are. And he will gladly help us if we just ask. We can also spend time with other people who know him and learn from them. And as we get to know him better, we will grow in him. And our lives will be transformed by God's grace. We'll become more like him. We'll become more generous and kind and forgiving, changed from glory to glory till in heaven we take our place, as the old hymn says. A new creation, the old gone, the new come. We become children of God, adopted in his family, made and then remade in his image, living out the good news. Then we will want to reach out to others. We will want to do acts of kindness, phone calls, lifts, encouraging words, practical help. We'll want to be generous with the resources we have, as God has been generous to us, and give freely to those who've got less than us. As we spend time listening to him, we'll know the unique gift that each one of us has. He's given something to each one of us, and he'll enable us to use that gift through his Spirit to enrich the lives of others. That's his intention, that we should be a people who are blessed and a people who bless others. As we serve him and others, we will display what God is like. We'll display the kingdom of God and the good news. And then that will prompt others to ask, why are these people different? Why are they like this? And they will want to know what that good news is. And that will give us opportunities to share our personal, unique testimonies of the one we've encountered, who he is, what he's done in our lives. And that will be different for each one of us, because we're all different. We're all special to God in our diversity. Paul was an amazing apostle. He brought many people into the kingdom through his life and words and influence. And yet in our passage today he says, I did not come to you with eloquence or superior wisdom. I resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you with weakness and fear and much trembling, not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. We can declare the truths we've learned and experienced about God in whatever simple way we can. And then he'll back that testimony about himself with the power of the Holy Spirit. That might be with miracles, that might be by empowering our words, simple as they seem, so that they reach people's hearts. That will be the way he connects us. I think it's amazing the way God will take us and put in our path somebody that's just the right person who needs to hear from us. He can do that. He can orchestrate so that each one of us meets the people he intends us to meet and has opportunity to share with them. Because he wants to reconcile the world to himself through us. He wants to show his love to the world through us, to bring others into the family of God, this family, our family. He wants us as his people to be his witnesses, his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 tells us Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all. And therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again, so that they do go out and proclaim the message. We're reconciled ourselves so that we can be given the ministry of reconciliation, God making his appeal through us. There's a story in the Old Testament that some of you might know. Samaria is under siege, and it's been under siege so long that people are even eating their own children. That's the level of desperation they've got to. And four men with leprosy who are at the gate decide they'll just go out and surrender to the enemy. They're not going to be any worse off than starving there. But when they get there, they discover that the enemy has fled. God has caused them to flee and just left everything in their camps. And these four men begin to stuff in the tents, enjoy all that they find in there, take the silver and gold and hide it. And then all of a sudden they say to each other, "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news and we are keeping it to ourselves." And so they take the news back to those in the city. I pray that we will not keep the greatest good news in history to ourselves while others are starving. The good news of God's gift of Jesus to his world, the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection and the kingdom it's ushered in, the good news that our Heavenly Father has entrusted to us to share with the world that he loves, so we and his world might be eternally transformed. And so our third value, the gospel, living, sharing, and proclaiming the good news of Jesus in word and action. Amen.